Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name to each one this morning, and welcome to the service, to this part of the service. I've been blessed by the service so far. The title of my devotional this morning is simply Follow God. I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, so you can turn with me there if you like. There's a lot of themes in here, so it was a little bit hard picking out a specific theme for a title, but it seems this is the overall thrust of this passage. And it's just kind of packed with practical instruction, just some good, simple guidance, eternal truths. So we're going to read verses 1 through 16. 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 through 16. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they're brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of benefit, of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So it starts off here, the first couple verses, talking about respect and obedience to authorities, particularly in this passage, to your employers. And it says that this is important, not for the sake of them, but for the sake of God. Why is that? I think it's because any true authority comes from the authority of God. And that's why there's these injunctions to submit to our authorities. And in this case, particularly, it talks about employers. Or there was the very real chance that there were slaves in this congregation. And so it's saying, if you're a slave, you still honor and respect your master. And then it says specifically, even if they're one of your brothers in the church, says, don't despise them. In other words, don't think that because they're your brother, you can shirk. You can just get by with, you don't have to do a very good job, but take care of them. And I think that's very important. I'm going to say to the young guys, but it's important for all of us, that if you're working for somebody, that you do your best for them. If it's a family member, maybe it's all the more important. It's easy sometimes to think, well, I've just got a guaranteed job here, and so it doesn't matter how I do my job. The fact that someone is required, because they're a Christian, to be kind and gentle to you doesn't give you a license to abuse that. I think that Christians should be the best employees, and hopefully the best employers as well. All right, then it goes on to say in verses 3 through 5, it talks about false teachers or false teachings, and it says the kind of things that these sorts of people do. It says that they're antagonistic. An antagonistic person tries to make things difficult. They're obstinate. They intentionally push people's buttons. It says they're argumentative. They like to hear their own voice and drown out the voices of others. It says they have pride and they have envy. And you know, it's awful hard to have respect for someone when you're jealous of them or have evil surmisings. And that evil surmisings about someone simply means to be suspicious of them, always second-guessing their motives, being a little bit paranoid. Now, I know they did this nice thing, but pretty sure it's because they're trying to manipulate me. Something like that. That's an evil surmising. Being suspicious of people. It says that's the kind of thing that false teachers do. It says, in contrast to that, have contentment, godliness with contentment. And I think it's interesting how it says godliness with contentment. And I think that's saying that there's a relentless pursuit to improve in godliness. But contentment comes from looking at our surroundings and recognizing that God is in control. And you know, we have so much. So let's not deteriorate into comparing our possessions or our stockpile with other people. And it goes on then to say the emptiness of that pursuit, carnal pursuits. And it's interesting to me some of the descriptive words that it uses here. It says, if you're wanting to do this, it says, use words like fall, snare, foolish and hurtful, drown, air, pierced. Don't sound like very fun word pictures. Not something that we would do deliberately. Yet, the devil has such a way of making it look good, doesn't he? Of making it seem like, oh, this would feel good if I would have this or pursue this. And instead, we get these terrible things. So that's why we follow God, not carnal pursuits. Chasing money at the expense of godliness will end in grief. So he contrasts that then with worthwhile pursuits. He says, flee those things, pursue these things. And among them are steadfastness. Don't give up when it's hard. Keep going. Talks about fighting, a warrior spirit. I think fighting is a reality of the Christian life. Now, of course, not physical fighting. The Bible is very clear on that. But spiritually, the enemy of our souls wants to lure us, to capture us, to kill us. So we need to fight the good fight of faith. And it says, do this for eternal life. There's coming a time when fighting will be at an end. The working, the preaching, the guarding, the fighting, it'll be over. And if we've lived a life in pursuit of God, then we'll have an eternity of life and joy. And then it closes with, again, going back to the authority of God that gives these words authority, the finality of his word and his commandments. It says these things are true and they're worthwhile because they were given to us by God. Keep your eye on the sky. Jesus is coming back. When he does, all the work of following will be worth it, and we can follow him to heaven. To him be honor and power everlasting. Amen.